Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Well, if I can just take a moment and just give you a relevant update from a message that I preached a few Sundays ago. I reminded you to be careful to not ignore the warning signs and signals that could indicate danger. And some of you may remember, I can't imagine you remember every word, but some of you may remember that I mentioned trains in that sermon. Well, that coming week, myself and Ruby, we're down at Lakeshore Camp in Coburg. And Lakeshore Camp, as you enter or as you leave, there are, I believe, five sets of train tracks that go by there. The train whistle is a familiar sound, and the warning lights and the barriers drop down when a train is approaching. Warning signs are there for a reason. Well, apparently, a driver stopped for the barriers. The barriers came down. The driver stopped for those barriers. But on this particular occasion, if he's parked here, probably where Squires Beach Road is. So that's out just a few hundred feet away. Over on the far set of tracks, there was a train that was stopped on those tracks. Well, the driver of the pickup assumed that the barriers were for the stopped, parked train on the far side. Well, he proceeded across the tracks, went out around the barrier. What wasn't realized was that the barrier and the warning sounds were not for that parked train, but was for a fast-moving VIA train. Disclaimer, things turned out okay. But just as the driver proceeded across, well, he made contact with the VIA train. And as you can imagine, the VIA train was traveling pretty fast. 1 second, 2 seconds, so the VIA train, he must have moved out and had just clipped the front bumper, pulled it off. Needless to say, a second or two later, it wouldn't have been the same outcome. So as I said, everything turned out okay. So folks, there's things along the journey that are in place to keep us safe, even when we're not aware of all the circumstances. We need to pay attention to them. And folks, spiritually, it's no different. There are biblical guidelines in place to protect and keep us safe along this journey. Amen? I trust that as we continue to move along, that principle will stay there, that guidelines are there to protect and keep us safe. We're going to stay with the driving theme, and I draw your attention again to the slide that's there. A great image of getting away, or sort of, whether it's a staycation, vacation, we get away. Well, myself and Ruby did have some opportunity to get away in the past few weeks, and we were on the road again. As I shared in July, I love driving, but I don't really like stopping once we get going. We prepare for the trip. Hey, you take an overview of where you're going, you get some snacks, you get some games for the kids, and you make that trip to the gas station and ensure that there's sufficient fuel to make a significant cut in that first leg of the journey. I don't have to remind you that more than likely that journey starts off with a full tank of gas, lots of enthusiasm, but then as the kilometers go, the hours slip by, the gas hand starts to move. And before you realize it, you need to gauge where you're at. Now, as I stated, I don't like stopping. So I will push that pedal as long as I can. Can I say that when the journey is familiar, when it's familiar, I know where the next stop is and I can plan to do that. But when the journey is unfamiliar, when the road is not, I'm not used to the road ahead, it gets a little bit more difficult. Will there be a gas station in the next half hour? How close can that needle go? I like getting my points at that particular station. I'm going to bypass this one so I can get the brand close, so I can get my points. I grew up in Newfoundland. We rarely had more than one lane going each way. I hated passing the same car over again. And what if there was traffic up ahead? Maybe I just don't want to take the time to stop. I just want to keep going. Well, I know what you're thinking, but no, I did not run out of gas this time. I jumped off at some random community and refueled, and less than 10 minutes back on the road, there was my station. I could have pushed it. But the smart thing was to stop and refuel. Oop, well, I better be careful here. The smart thing was to stop and refuel. Refueling takes the pressure off. And if there is something unexpected around the next turn, I'm good. Well, before you think I just do it right all the time and you know better, years ago, I did run out of gas going down a hill, and I actually coasted right into the gas station. No one knew. Well, maybe. There is another time that did involve being on the side of the road near dark, a subsequent ride in the back of a pickup, paying for a gas can, a return trip to the car, and then making it back home. You can talk to my girlfriend about that one. Yeah, she still married me. Well, she always tells me that E means empty and that E does not mean enough. Am I the only one? Come on. No one else has run out of gas. Okay, that's right. Well, folks, when I ignore the good options along the way to refuel, my journey can get much more complicated. It can get dangerous. It gets more costly. I waste good times. Relationships can even be strained. I run out of gas, energy, fuel. I'm stranded. I'm alone. Spiritually, if we are not careful to be refreshed, to be renewed, we know there will be challenges, and there can be those amazing challenges along the way. And sometimes I just don't have time to pause and stop. I got too much on the go. Well, we can be caught in a difficult circumstance. And now, where do we find ourselves? Folks, you sang it so well already this morning, and Pastor referred that in her prayer. It's our faith in Jesus Christ that will sustain and keep us navigating in a godly, healthy manner. Today we continue our series in Thriving in 2025, and our sermon title for the thoughts this morning is to continue to renew our faith level. Our passage is found in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and it reads like this. Paul writes, "I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who've never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also were complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, help us to listen, help us to hear, help us to be obedient to what your word says and the truths that are found there. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, we've got the Apostle Paul here writing to the church at Colossae, and he encourages them and also challenges them. You see, Paul is fully aware of the twists and turns, the journey that can be the pathways, the detours that are along the way. His life was dramatically changed from a persecutor of the church to one of the primary main apostles of the early church. He writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, he declares that he is not ashamed of the power of the gospel. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and then the Gentile. And he reiterates that same thought in the first chapter of Colossians in verse 25. And he says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. And then chapter 1, verse 28 says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. He writes to this group so that their faith will be kept strong, to encourage them to stay consistent with the basics of their faith, and not to just stay there, but to continue to grow in their faith, to renew their faith level. As I highlight, there's some points that will help us to continue to renew our faith level so that we can thrive in our walk with God and be an example to others around us. Paul shares news that is good. Flip it around. That's good news. Paul is adamant that a group of believers meeting together is good. What do we commonly call a group of believers that meet together? Well, that's the church. That's you and I, group of believers. We are the church. That group, that church globally, and this church locally are called to share and show God's love to a world around us. And folks, if the church does things right, it will allow every believer to renew their faith level. Paul gives them the mark to aim for and what a church should be. The good news is that you are not alone. Look around. Give that high five back. Okay, there we go. You're not alone. The Colossians, PPC, online, you are not alone. No matter what you're going through, there are other believers, leaders, pastors, small groups, praying and standing with you. Paul says that he agonized for believers. There's another version that says he contends for them. He works hard for them. And we read in numerous verses that Paul is praying for the various churches. Colossians 1 and 3, Paul says, we always pray for you and give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul lets them know that he is aware of them. Did Paul know all the details of their lives? Not at all. In fact, if you can just picture what we just read a few moments ago, it says, for many other believers who have never met me personally. There's another version of those verses, and it says, not many of you have met me face to face. But that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side, right alongside of you. You are not alone. Folks, the writers, the commentators would say that already the believers were starting to complain. Say, well, man, Paul doesn't even come and talk to us. He doesn't share the truth himself with us. He's paying more attention to another group. The truth is that Paul could not be in every community and in every home physically present for individuals and family. Did that mean he didn't care? Absolutely not. He prayed for them. This group, the body of believers, there's more than one leader, one pastor to care. I know that you would like Pastor Marie at every child dedication, every prayer need, every marriage, every hospital room, every baptism, but that is not physically possible. Does that mean she doesn't pray for you? You know better. I won't say it, but there it is. PPC has additional pastors, leaders, fellow believers who can visit, pray, meet together, and unite our prayers together for each other. The good news is that you and I are not alone. Amen? Side note, Paul wrote these words when he was in prison. Even in his own significant setback, or so it seemed to him, he was still thinking and praying for others. Folks, you may not even know or meet the person sitting on the other side of the room, or certainly those that are online. But we believe and pray for each other and know that God reaches across all kinds of boundaries and touches lives. I, like others, while I have not met all of your family, we have prayed for them. I won't remember the name, but sometimes I'll go, that person sitting over there, whatever's going on in their lives, God, would you meet their need? Would you touch them? Pastor, we prayed earlier. She doesn't know all of your names, but we trust an amazing God who will make a way. Folks, we are not alone. Amen? Why do we, as believers, have that strong faith together? Well, there's more good news. There should and there is unity and love that should be present. Verse 3 says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. Paul knew that a church united and full of love will be an encouragement and will build each other up and be a group of believers that exhibit God's love to an unsaved and spiritually lost world. Not all the time, but many times when I hear that word knit, an image comes to my mind, and it's way back when I was a kid, back in the 1960s, early 70s, when we would get homemade socks, mittens, or three-fingered knit mittens from my Nan. Now, these aren't the ones. They did wear well back in the, back then. But I did say to one of our kids this week, I says, we must have a pair of mittens around. And Caleb, who's actually here today, Caleb says, I think I do, Dad. So he runs, came back in less than 2 minutes. He goes, Aunt Renee gave these to me a couple of Christmases ago. So they are from the Rock. They are from Newfoundland. Good province there. But you know what? These mittens, they almost always have a nice little design on them. They're knit together well. And you know what? Because they're knit together, they're pretty strong. Like they will wear well. And something else about them, they will keep my hands warm and they will last wear and tear. If the strands were pulled apart and laid out on a table, they would be much easier to break or tear. But when they're knit together, they provide that strength, that warmth. Folks, the good news is, when love is received and given, people are encouraged. Individuals can place their faith in Christ and have opportunities to renew their faith level, to be refueled. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, to speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. And then to the church at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, he says, encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Paul highlights this good news, and while we love and encourage each other, it is by no means what we do ourselves. It is all about Jesus Christ. John chapter 13, verse 35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love for each other in the church begins with God's love and Christ's love for each and all of us. The good news is that it is about Christ and no one else. Paul ensures the believers to not put their trust in him, but in Christ alone. You sang a song this morning. We already referenced it. My hope is built on nothing less. Jesus, he's the solid rock. Verse 2 says, to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are there. If you and I, unbelievers, inside, outside the church, begin to focus on anyone or anything else than Jesus Christ, that's when the problems arise. You see, Paul recognized this, and even though he was not present with them, he knew that if the church, wherever that group of believers is located geographically, if they move their focus from Christ, their faith would weaken and not be renewed. Paul calls out some bad apples in the bushel. While many chose to follow Christ fully, there were others who would try and make it about themselves or add to that message. You see, while there is news that is good, there's also news that is fake. Have anybody heard any talk about fake news? Well, unfortunately, the church is not adverse to things that are not true. While the goal is to follow truth, it is hard for our faith level to be truly renewed when we allow ourselves to be led astray or move away from the teaching of Jesus. Down through the generations, even to today, there will be groups of people who will want to add or take away from the message of Jesus Christ. See, Paul recognizes this, and in this portion in Colossians chapter 2, there's two scripture verses that he refers to. He says, don't be led away by those who can deceive you. And listen to this version of Paul's words in the Message version, verses 4 to 8. It says, I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase. And watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. I don't have all the time to go through all of what those comments can mean, but the writers would say that there were, again, individuals or factions in the early church that were already spreading false teaching about Jesus, saying that, well, he wasn't a real man. Or on the other extreme, well, he wasn't really deity. They were saying that salvation is not just about Jesus' death and resurrection, but there's another set of guidelines that you need. There's the law that still needs to be followed before salvation is complete. Well, we read it in those latter verses that you need to be circumcised there. So another thing that gets added to follow Jesus Christ, and maybe even bring it down to today. Maybe there's some thinking out there that believers in Christ should be rich and have lots of money. We all would like more resources, but we need to be content with what God has provided to us. Maybe there's some other thoughts that says, believers, you should never have a problem. When you're going down that road, it should be smooth sailing all the time, that things would just go, every turn is amazing, and all of that. Well, you know what? That's false. Those things are not right. And I say, please know that I'm not against study or deeper insight, but when the truths of the gospel message are being compromised, especially when it comes to Jesus and the saving grace, that is not right and needs to be confronted. That's exactly what Paul was doing right here. The fake news that was going around was taking away from the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And Paul was challenging the church to be careful. Don't ignore the warning signs and signals that are indicating danger. If something doesn't look right, sound right, it probably isn't right. It's a fake. It's not real. It's a scam. Don't fall for it. And folks, at its very core, where is this coming from? Ultimately, it's from the enemy. He is out to destroy the church, out to destroy the lives of believers, out to destroy your life. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus describes Satan as a liar and the father of lies. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, Satan is described, the enemy is described as one who goes around looking for who he can destroy, who he can devour. Folks, that's a scam. Don't fall for the purposes of the enemy. There's another set of news in the church, probably around more often than we'd like to admit. And it's this news, it's the news that is gossip. Did you hear? I can't believe if that was my kid. Well, a few years ago, we got a call at the church, and someone said, I saw one of your pastors at the casino. And this was before this one, this was back at the Ajax slots. Well, actually, they were right. But here's how fake news can get around. But he wasn't the only one at the casino. There were several of the pastors at Ajax slots there. What we were doing was we were doing a silent prayer walk. We went in just to see how this worked and all of that. That's how fake news can get started. Well, I want you to look at your neighbor and just do this. Shh. I saw a plaque a few years ago, and these were the words on the plaque. I don't repeat gossip, so listen carefully. You know there's a double-sided message there. Folks, not good. Talking about someone else will weaken and could tear down their faith. And whether myself, you, the person who's repeating that, whether we acknowledge it or not, it also affects us. Certainly not the characteristic that should be evident in a church. Can I say that that you can also be fake news to those we come in contact with? While none of us are perfect, we should strive and do our best to be a light in a dark world. There's those outside of the church that have accused many of being a hypocrite, being a fake. And I don't believe any of us try or want to be in that category. If we don't keep renewing our faith level, there is that possibility when our focus is anything but Jesus, the church, or others around us. I say avoid and stop the fake news or being the fake news that cause others to stumble. So what news should be catching our attention? There's an expression I heard growing up a lot. I don't hear it as much anymore. But the expression was, now that's gospel. And that really meant that what I'm stating or what I'm hearing is truth. And that phrase just wasn't used in the church. It was used outside of the church. That just means, that's gospel, man. You can count on that. That's gospel. A simple message, but profound truths of God's love to mankind through the church is news that is gospel. I used a phrase earlier that news that is good, and I do want to say, and you probably know, that gospel actually does mean good news. Colossians 1 verse 6 says, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." And then Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13 says this, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You see, Paul affirms in his writings that the gospel is about God's love for all. The Jew, the Gentile, that's you and I, and that salvation is received and eternal life with God is attained by placing faith in Christ alone. I pause to say that if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, you've never placed your faith in God, today is a great day, a great time to begin your faith journey with God. Read those verses again. That's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. For those online, if you just simply type the message in the chat box and said, "I want to know more about faith in God," there will be a leader that will respond to you and we'll be able to get back to you and pray with and give you some guidelines and directions on how to know God better and seeing Jesus Christ work in your life. Take advantage of that option today. Folks, those of us in-house, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, our prayer partners will be here at the front of the church following our service, and you can come to them and say, "I just want to start this journey with God. Pray with me, for me," and you're free to do that. You see, whatever our faith level is at, whether it's to place our faith in or renew our faith level, can only be found through Christ and seeking him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 to 7 says, "And I rejoice that you're living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. And in the latter verses, Paul challenges believers to not take our freedom in Christ lightly. That freedom of having our sins forgiven, we should not take that for granted. You see, freedom in Christ does not give me the liberty to do whatever I want or desire. Verses 11 and 12, it's a challenge that we are raised to new life. It isn't one that says, I can still have the old life and have it all graced with freedom, but it says, I am to be raised to new life, a new standard. And I say, folks, let's do this new life as we've been doing. Let's do that together. Our faith being renewed. Take steps to strengthen our faith, to renew our faith level along the way. Our faith in Christ is renewed and strengthened by following Christ, obviously, by being obedient to Scripture, being prayerful, being together with fellow believers in worship. You've done that today. Striving to be Christ-like, having that servant attitude, and believing that God has a pathway for you, and to do our best to stay on that pathway towards that destination. Folks, being involved in church life makes a difference in having our faith renewed. If we are to strive spiritually in 2025 or in any year and any generation, we need to renew our faith level. We need to find those regular times to be refreshed, renewed, refueled. If our faith is growing, being strengthened, even when there's an obstacle around the corner, maybe we don't even know what's out there on the pathway in front of us, we don't have to go and make an emergency call, so to say. But I am, you are ready and able to respond in a godly, spiritual, healthy manner in our lives. Or maybe there's someone else. When they make that emergency call to you, you've got a full tank and you're able to help someone else along the journey so that their faith level can be increased and renewed. Our hope, our trust is in Christ alone. Can I say that there have been times when there have been emergencies or accidents on the road in my life? And even when I have made the 911 call out there in a real traffic emergency, my mind and my lips still say, Jesus, Jesus. When I know the first responders are on their way, I still say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My hope is in Christ alone. Amen. My friends, Jesus is the hope of the world, but the church, believers, you and I are the example and the light that should shine bright in a dark, needy, sinful world. So I say, let's continue to renew our faith level so God's love can impact others spiritually stranded along the pathway. Can I say, be the good news, stop and resist the fake news, and receive and embrace fully the gospel news. Be the good news. Be that life, that love to others around. Be united together. Stop and resist the fake news. And then to receive and fully embrace the gospel news. The worship team is coming back and they're going to lead us in that same song that we sang earlier, The Solid Rock. Folks, our faith is only in Christ Jesus. Can I ask, how is the spiritual road looking for you right now? How's the journey going? Are you prepared? Moving along well? Strong in your relationship with God? Or maybe it's looking like there should be a spiritual emergency call this morning. You may feel stranded in your situation. Friends, as I said earlier, you're not alone. God is with you. Believers are here to pray and encourage you. You can be good news for someone else. And I say, what about the fake news? Have you fallen prey to some of that? It's time to stop and resist the enemy. And I'm not naive to think that today's pace of society is crazy. And there could be times, probably right there, where you're feeling overwhelmed. You're feeling out of fuel, if I can use that expression carefully. Well, friends, you're here at church. Don't leave feeling stranded Don't leave feeling I'm alone in a situation. We can receive prayer help this morning and know that God is with us, that others are standing beside us, and this is an opportunity to just renew our faith level, to just say, God, do something amazing in my life, as you already have, but we need to make ourselves available and say, keep doing that in our lives. I'm going to ask you to stand just before the worship team leads us, and I'm going to pray with and for you today. Again, I don't know the journey, the pathway that you are on. I only know what this guy's is, and even then, I don't know what's down the road. But I know that if I've allowed God to be in control, that I can follow after him and know that he will take care of me. So just before I pray, just ask you to close your eyes, just pause for a moment, and just reflect on how that journey is going for you, and maybe how God by his Holy Spirit is speaking into your life today, in your situation, or just about renewing that faith level today. Lord, I'm thankful to know that it's all about yourself. And God, we know that you are an all-powerful God. We prayed that earlier, that you are able to make a way in every one of our situations. Lord, sometimes though, you desire to do something in our lives. You desire to make a way. But whether we've closed the door off or maybe we've gone down another pathway that takes us further from that way. Lord, today, I'm praying for this group of people standing in this house, praying for those online. God, I know that you are able to do some amazing things in their lives, and you have done that. So, Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you today that no matter where we're at, we can again place our faith and trust in you alone and know that you are taking care of us, that you are there to encourage, to strengthen us, to build us up. So, Father, we receive that today. And, Lord, if there's any things in our lives that we need to allow you to deal with, allow to be forgiven, to be straightened out, Lord, may we do that in our own selves and say, God, help me out. I've messed up here. Forgive me. Help me get back on the right pathway with yourself that leads to you. So, Lord, I thank you for this group. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the ability that we have of gathering together, meeting and encouraging each other, praying for each other. We pray for those that don't know you today. May they take that step today and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. Help guide this journey for me. Lord, in all of that, we give you thanks and know that our hope is only in Jesus Christ, that solid rock. In his name, amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.